Hi, I'm Lena.
And I'm Aman.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
Yes. Okay, today we are talking about a show that is essentially
a documentary.
A documentary and a rom-com about pirates, and it's called Our Flag Means Death. It is streaming on HBO, and yeah, so the main character, I'm just going to jump into a synopsis
Just go for it.
And obviously, yeah. Spoilers alert. So the main character is about this guy named Steed Bonnet. Not Steve, but Steed, like D as in dog. Steed Bonnet, and he is this guy who comes from wealthy means, came from a wealthy family, grew up pretty wealthy, has a wife and kids, and then just decides that life is too short and he can't waste it doing on things that he doesn't love. So he abandons his family to become a pirate.
Yep. Yeah.
So he basically uses his money to get a ship and stores some money for himself and leaves the rest to his wife and kids. And he gets a ship and he calls it the Revenge. And he gathers together a crew that does not seem too smart. And he knows nothing about being a pirate or sailing or really anything. So it's truly a wonder that he is alive.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah. At any point in the season. And then he comes across Blackbeard, the infamous pirate Blackbeard, whose name, real quote-unquote name, is Edward Teach, but like that's what Wikipedia says. But Wikipedia also says that we'll likely never know his real name, and Edward Teach was probably a fictional name too. But anyway, so they meet and become friends.
Yes.
And, yeah, eventually fall in love.
Yes. And what is craziest about this is that it's all kind of based on actual history.
Yeah.
There was an actual guy named Steed Bonnet who was actually known as the Gentleman Pirate.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually did sail with Blackbeard.
Yeah.
For a period of time. And Blackbeard did command his ship, the Revenge, because Steed was so incompetent.
Right.
And then they hung out for a while.
Yeah. And Blackbeard had his own ship called Queen Anne's Revenge.
A lot of revenging back
then. A lot of revenging.
Yeah. Amongst really the Barbadoan pirates. Yeah. Barbadoan?
I think
the pirates in the Caribbean, like that
West
whole
Indies.
Time era.
Yeah.
The West Indies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, Steed Bonnet actually paid his crew.
Which like
is
a wage.
Amazing for the 1700s. Like, well, actually, I mean, amazing.
Well, I mean, to be fair, most pirates did not come from wealthy means. So it's not like they were getting capital investors to build up their staff and then go and make money by piracy. But
yeah, that's my point. It's amazing that he paid his crew because there was like no money.
No, but he was the only one who could, is what I'm saying, because he was just a rich boy.
I know, but I'm saying that it's amazing that he did that because a lot of people at that time would be like, why should I pay you anything? You know?
Right. Right. So like the return
slavery
is...
was very much a thing. So
Yeah, but
that mentality was very much prevalent of why should I pay anyone to do anything? Like, hello? That's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I thought you were going somewhere else.
It's always comes back to slavery when it comes to life on planet Earth. So.
Yeah, oftentimes, yes, unfortunately. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this shit actually happened.
Yeah.
This shit actually happened is what's crazy.
That was amazing. I literally, this whole time while I was watching the show, I thought the only like true part was Blackbeard's character. And literally just the character of Blackbeard. I thought
like his
everything.
Existence, you mean?
Yeah, like his existence. And I thought everything else was being sort of made up. And I walked into the show thinking, I'm just about to watch a comedy about a bunch of bumbling pirates who are trying to be pirates, but they don't know how to be pirates.
Which it is.
It is. It is also about that. And I feel like a lot of that is probably accurate too, because what the hell were they doing in the 1700s? Like, they definitely didn't know what they were doing most of the time. And then afterwards, when I started reading more about Blackbeard, it was like, oh yeah, and he also went pirating with Steed Bonnet. And I was like, what? This dude's real? That was crazy. But yeah, aside from that, Iman, what else did you think of the show?
So I know you're not a big fan of this style of comedy. I personally love it. So I got hooked into the show pretty quickly.
I like seeing character growth, okay? Like, I can enjoy a short YouTube video here and there of just like random slapstick comedy, but I don't enjoy it when a whole show is just about that. I need character growth to happen at some point, which thankfully it does on this show.
It does.
Eventually.
And yes. And I really like what the writers, showrunners, everybody did, where you did have this premise of bumbling Steed Bonnet, who doesn't know dick about like pirating or even being at sea, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, he has a freaking library in his quarters. Why would you have that? Like, space is at a premium, all right, on a sailing vessel.
Right.
And books are very flammable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And very wet. Like, they soak up water super easy, you know? They're not very waterproof. Like, why would you fucking do that?
He all also right. had an entire secret wardrobe.
He had a wardrobe.
Who knows how many clothes?
And an auxiliary wardrobe.
Yeah. That is,
I mean, it was a lot of very sort of goofy, silly comedy, but I really enjoy how they still used that style of comedy as a vehicle to get to actual character growth and used it for actual moments of representation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you have a lot of gay relationships on this show where it's amongst pirates. And so it's depicted in a way that for me was still very believable. Mm-hmm. And you even have one character who is non-binary and goes by they, them.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I just thought the show did a surprisingly, because I wasn't expecting it, a surprisingly good job of representing different kinds of people who normally don't get much screen time and different versions of love that don't get much screen time.
And I think as a result, they've actually made the show way more accurate.
Yes.
I think that's exactly how life must have been like, you know, like pirates were not arguing about pronouns or like anyone's sexuality. Like, they were just like, okay, who are we robbing next? Like, where are we getting our next loot and our next food? And fuck it. You know?
Like, yeah.
So I really enjoyed that. And the character that goes by their character's name is Jim. And That was so, I love that whole plot line,
because
they showed that Jim is hiding aboard the Revenge, basically dressed as a man wearing like a beard and whatever else,
and a fake nose.
Yeah. And because what was Jim's like original, like Bonifacia?
Yeah.
So Bonifacia, I'm forgetting the last name. But so when Jim was a little girl, she saw her family all killed, and then eventually went to go track down the killers, killed one of them, and then was hiding from whoever was trying to get her back for killing that person. Anyway, that's why Jim was disguised as Jim on board. And then eventually, you know, the crew finds out who Jim is and that Jim has been wearing this fake nose and fake beard this whole time, and they're all freaked out. And
they're
they
not
had
so much freaked out. They're more confused.
That's true. I'm thinking of the scene when they pulled off the nose, that other guy pulled off Jim's nose in front of everyone. Then they were like screaming their heads off because they were like, what are you doing?
They thought they were taking off their actual nose. Like,
yeah.
They thought they were cutting off Jim's actual nose. So, yeah, they thought there was a maiming going on.
Right, right.
But I was thinking of the very hilarious part where it's like, wait, so are you a woman now?
Yeah.
And wait, you're, so if you're not a mute, are you still Jim?
Yeah.
Like, the thing. They didn't know how to process the fact that this was a different person than whom they had come to know.
Right. And Jim was like, guys, it's still me. Okay. I just don't have a fake nose anymore. I don't have a fake beard. You can still call me Jim. Okay. And then they were like, okay, yeah, yeah, that makes sense. You know what? I liked it. It was such a heartwarming little conversation.
Yeah.
And then for the rest of the show, all the characters, without having any sort of like, or at least they didn't show any discussion on screen, all the characters for the rest of the show refer to Jim as they, them. And
yes.
I thought that was so sweet.
I thought so too.
Mm-hmm. A fun trivia fact. So the person who plays Jim, their name is Vico Ortiz, and they are also non-binary and gender fluid. And they said that when they first read the script for this show, they started crying because of how wonderfully they created a space for this gender fluid character.
Yeah.
And actually, apparently three of the writers in the writer's room are themselves non-binary and slash or gender fluid. So yeah.
That I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that comedies can be an excellent vehicle for normalizing things that may be unfamiliar to us.
Yes.
Agreed. It's a safe space to introduce mm-hmm. audiences to people and points of view that they are either unfamiliar with or uncomfortable with, and in many cases, both. And this show really, really leans into that. And I thought that was brilliant.
Yes, it was really well done. Another theme of this show that I thought was interesting was many of these characters trying to figure out their purpose in life.
Yes.
And, you know, like Steed was like, this married life is not for me.
Yeah.
And, clearly he just wanted an adventure. He wanted to do something with his life that wasn't just like being a little rich boy, which is, and the show, basically they show that like he's been made fun of for being this prissy, quote unquote, little rich boy. And he just wants to go out there, see the world, do stuff. And then same with Blackbeard, like he's having like a midlife crisis after so many years of being a pirate. He's like, I don't know. I don't find joy in this anymore.
Yeah.
And then he meets Steed and he's learning like a whole different part of life. You know, Steed is teaching him things like manners, like table manners. Yes. That was so funny.
And and how the upper crust attack each other by being passive aggressive.
Yes, that was, I think, really funny.
I think one of my favorite lines in the whole show is they plunder and pirate this ship, mm-hmm. all right? And they find these invitations to this soiree,
right?
All right, hosted by a bunch of hoity-toity French people.
Uh-huh.
And Blackbeard is like, yeah, no, we should go, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he goes, yeah, we can go and I can show them my massive aggression. And Steve's like, passive aggression. Yeah, that's what I said.
That was really funny. Yeah.
Yeah. It cracked me up because obviously he's misremembering the word passive aggression and just says massive obviously. Aggression.
Yeah.
But also massive aggression is also just such an accurate term for how he had been dealing with anything in his life until meeting Steed. So it was both the mix-up and the high level of accuracy that made me crack up.
It was the perfect phrase to describe Blackbeard.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it tickled me so.
What? Oh, and then another person who I want to bring up, Jim again, mm-hmm. because Jim was trying to figure out the purpose of their life, you know, because they had been seeking revenge for the death of their family. Mm-hmm. And then it was like trying to figure out, okay, do I keep going with this revenge? And so I thought that was really sweet. I thought that was, I don't know. It was very interesting how they pondered just like, okay, what does it mean to be happy? And then, oh my God. And then the last episode where they show Mary, Steed's wife, who had, you know, her life as a widow was amazing. She was like, I'm living my best life right now. I'm a widow. And, you know, she's become this amazing artist. She's been able to develop her painting skills. The children are happy. She's happy. She's like got this whole support group of other widows who are all immensely happier without having husbands.
She's met a guy who actually loves her. It's, yeah, she's living her best life as a widow.
Right. And then Steed comes crashing back into her life because he feels all this guilt for some reason.
Actually, I think what happened was that he got kidnapped by that one admiral.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the admiral died. And I just assumed that he took him close to where his old home was.
No, it's because of all the things he was saying right before he died. All the things he was saying to Steed. He's like, everything you touch, you ruin. You've destroyed your wife and kids. You destroyed Blackbeard even. He's not even the pirate that everyone thinks he is. And like, you know, he's basically saying like, you suck. And you just ruin
everything you touch.
Yeah. But also it's like, you've just like abandoned your family. And I think that guilt got to him. And that's why he never met Blackbeard at the dock where they were supposed to meet and then run away together. And that's why Blackbeard is all upset and totally going through like, breakup issues, withdrawal, whatever. Yeah. So I thought that was really nice how on the show they revisit the wife and kids and like, how is she doing? And
there was this closure in the storyline, which the season finale really, really helped with.
Right.
On a lot of levels, including I thought Blackbeard.
Right.
A full closure of like what kind of person even he is, you know, and is trying to be and the things that he defaults to and the pains that he's still hanging on to.
Yeah, for sure.
We want to get a little bit more into the whole Steed and Edward rom-com love story that's happening on this show.
Yes, go for it.
So I really enjoyed it because, and this is something we touched on earlier, where the way they portrayed some of these things actually made it feel more accurate to what probably was true in the times. And what's happening here with Steed and Edward Teach, aka Blackbeard, and not Blackbeard, more of a run-on one-word Blackbeard. Yep. If you watch the show, you'll get it. But the reason they met up is because Blackbeard, in the show, not in real life, Blackbeard was like, I want to meet this gentleman pirate because I'm bored with my life and I want to try something different. And this guy seems interesting.
Yeah.
And then from there, as they interact with each other, Blackbeard teaches the gentleman pirate how to be more of a bloodthirsty pirate. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman pirate teaches Blackbeard how to be more of a gentleman.
Right.
And in that development, hijinks ensue, but their relationship grows very naturally and very organically.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with either of their sexuality.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the labels that we are just so fucking attached to now of like, are you gay? Are you straight? Are you bi? Are you something in between? No. Mm-hmm. Back then, none of those labels existed.
Right.
All right. These are actually all constructs, I think, from 20th century psychologists and sociologists.
Mostly straight white men coming up with these terms.
As we define, and yes. Right. And also
like putting people into boxes, I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But there, so this relationship that was developing had nothing to do with sexuality in terms of like how they view themselves. It just has everything to do with who these two are as individuals and what they are able to see in each other and bring to each other. And so that relationship for me actually felt more beautiful than most other things I've ever seen on screen, because it was completely devoid of any labels. And it was just such an organic thing that built up to a very romantic kiss on screen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That was so sweet. I also loved how, again, in the last episode, you know, Steed asks his wife, what does it feel like to be in love?
Yeah.
And she says, it feels easy. You know, we make each other laugh. We teach each other things. We do. And then as she's describing it, it's showing a little flashback montage of their time together and how they've done all those things for you. Like, meaning Steed and Blackbeard. And so I just thought that was so sweet too. That was another just lovely way. And so much good closure in that last episode, like between Steed and Mary, and then Steed realizing that, you know, he doesn't need to feel guilty about these choices. I mean, he should feel a little guilty. You shouldn't just like abandon your family, but, you know, make things better before leaving like that. And you know, he just like realizes he doesn't need to deny this very wonderful and pure love in his life.
Yes. You know?
Yes. And which I think he was kind of like pushing down because of his wealthy upbringing, which came with more boxes, you know, being put into certain boxes and, oh, you're of a certain age, you should get married now. Oh, you should have children now. You know, it was just like, he was just following orders sort of all his life.
Yeah. And back in those days, in the early, in the late 17th century, early 18th century, in that time period, marriage actually was very transactional. It was not about, and I'm talking about European culture specifically here. Marriage was not about love. It was very transactional, you know, and they showed that with the flashbacks to Steed and Mary's wedding, where they're getting married to each other. They've never met each other before. And they're saying, oh, well, he has money. And, you know, Mary's mom is saying that, like, yeah, because he's got money. He's not destitute. Yeah, you're going to marry him. And Steed's dad is like, poor people marry for love.
Yeah, that's
Mary has acreage.
Right. Land. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, it was transactional. Marriage was a business transaction. And actually, you see this even in the way marriages were set up amongst European monarchs. You know, like marriage was a vehicle for building alliances and relationships, and actually has been through much of human history. Right. It was not about love. Whatever was happening in terms of love was happening outside of the construct of marriage.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people got lucky and married the people they loved, or fell in love with the people they ended up marrying eventually. Yeah,
which, like, so, I guess that's nice. Yeah. But that's never the point.
It was few and far between.
Few and far between. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so all of that in this very, very silly comedy, which is apparently, I didn't realize until after I'd started watching the show, is actually a documentary of sorts.
I know, seriously.
And a rom-com is not just, I thought, like a beautiful depiction of, as I said before, representing different kinds of love, different kinds of people who we don't interact with, or who we don't get to see on screen that often, but is also for that, also probably, and I say probably because there's no firsthand accounts of what happened 200, 300 years ago. Probably accurate.
Yeah, yeah.
To how things actually were.
Right. I also appreciate the depiction of race on this show. Which I think many pirate ships were made up of many people of different races.
Yes. Especially
In the West Indies. Yes.
Right. Especially in the West Indies.
Yeah. So I thought that was great too. At first I was like, oh, is this show just trying to be like Bridgerton, you know, where they're just like, just throwing in the people of color and we're not even going to talk about race at all, you know, even though Bridgerton tries to, but it's not done well on that show. Anyway,
it's really not.
It's mainly just there for decoration and prettiness. And there are some nice moments in Bridgerton. Anyway, okay, we're not talking about Bridgerton right now. But point is, They kind of acknowledged it a little bit, but mostly it was not a thing. And I wonder if...
I feel like they actually acknowledged it quite a bit.
Well, it wasn't... I mean, there were random remarks here and there where it was like, I don't know, like one of the British sailors being like, what do you want, darky, or something like that.
Oh, no, no. But do you remember the scene where they ended up being captured by the tribe that they thought was deserted island?
That was
amazing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And they had only put... the white people in cages, the black people. And he's like got a coconut drink walking around. He's like, hey guys, what's up? That was great. That was awesome. Actually reminds me, this is really random, but this reminds me of the Iranian hostage crisis, because in that situation, they took over the US embassy, right? Or was it? Yeah. And they let all the black people go. Like, that actually is true. In the Iranian hostage crisis situation, they let the black people go because they were like, you've been through enough. Like, we're just here for the white folks.
Was it that, or was it like a deep understanding of how racism works in America and just knowing that the US government is only going to care about their Caucasian staff?
That's true. It might be that. I want to believe it was the former, and that there's like this unspoken solidarity between all people of color. So maybe, who knows? Maybe it was both, you know?
Which is ironic, like, because Iranians are Aryan.
Right. But no one else sees them that way.
Apparently not. But genetically,
they are the true Aryans. Yes.
Yeah, genetically, that's what's happening.
Yep. Yep. And then, and then the other scene, which I loved, was when there were like two black crew members, and one of them, this was the same episode where they went to that French soiree thing, and one of them is pretending to be some crown prince of Egypt and the other one is like his viceroy.
Yes.
And they were trying to get quote unquote investments from people and basically take their money. And I was like, this is brilliant. I love this.
To unearth treasure from a pyramid.
From a pyramid, yes. That was brilliant. That was so funny. And I was like, this is classic. Yes. Good job being pirates, finally, guys.
It's like the first pyramid scheme.
Yeah, literally the first pyramid scheme.
That's what they were going for.
Yeah.
In that episode. And it was so, so well done.
That was great.
It was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Like that, and that's one of the things I appreciate about the show. I know you're not a big fan of slapstick comedy and dumb guys being dumb.
Right.
All right. I know that about you, Lena. But one of the things I really appreciate about the show is that they still use that as a vehicle to make some very, very intelligent commentary.
Yes. No, I enjoyed that. I'm saying it was a bit slow in the beginning of this show because it was just all sort of slapstick and hijinks without too much commentary. There was a bit, but I'm just saying
it was building.
I know, I'm saying it had a slow start. So, but my like ultimate comedy, I don't know if you've seen this show. Have you seen Fleabag?
I have not.
It is incredible. Truly one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. I mean, season 2, episode 1 is, I think, one of the most brilliantly written episodes. The entire episode takes place at one dinner. Like, it's really well done. But anyway, you should watch that show. Maybe at some point we could do an episode on Fleabag, because that is amazing comedy.
I feel like I forced you to watch this show, so you get to force me to watch a show in return, Lena. So it's either Fleabag or Dickinson, so...
Well, I want you to watch both.
Well, until I force you to watch a show.
You've made me watch plenty of shows.
Yeah, and you enjoyed them all.
Yeah, I'm saying you're going to enjoy both of these shows as well. So.
Okay. All right. If you say so, okay, I believe you.
You're so lame. Literally, just read any reviews about both of these shows. They are like top 5 for everyone. Thank you.
All right. All right. All right.
Anyway, any more thoughts on Our Flag Means Death?
No, I think that about covers it. I think everybody should watch, you know, the documentary rom-com series, Our Flag Means Death.
Yep. Agreed. Great show. All right. Well, as always, thanks for listening to Grounded Geeks.
And we'll catch you next time.